Our scripture reading today is from John 11, verses 17 through 44. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, and supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and across a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Your dog is hit by a car, and you get off the bus, and you find him laying in the street. Ouch. It hurts. Your best friend tells you she's moving to North Carolina. You've done everything together for years. Ouch. Another hurt. Your boss says, "I want to meet with you." And you're told that you've got 2 weeks and your job is going to be eliminated. Or in the old IBM way, 15 minutes to clean out your desk. Ouch. All of these are losses. All of these are thorns. All of these are things that dig into your heart and into your soul and that hurt and leave some pains. And I don't want to minimize any of these kinds of losses because they are all very real. But then comes the other kinds of losses. Then comes the phone call on a Sunday evening 34 years ago that says, "Jan's dad has died unexpectedly. We didn't even know he was sick." Or the one we got 2.5 years ago. "Your son-in-law is gone, has died." You all had those kinds of thorns. You've had those thorns in your life that come from a major loss that just leaves an open hole, or that leaves a place that is still sore much later. But what do we do when those losses come into our lives? How do we respond? Do we just say, well, we got to just grin and bear it and go on? That's the way some people think they need to respond. Others say, fall into despair and stay there for years. No, neither one of those extremes is what we ought to be looking at when we deal with the losses that come into our lives. But remember that the one who wore the thorns, the crown of thorns on his head, shows us a better way. And so this morning we see Jesus. We see his tears, we hear his words of hope, and we rejoice in the life-giving actions that Jesus took as we read this section in John chapter 11 about the death of Lazarus. And so I want us to look at this section, first of all, as we deal with and accept the reality of grief that is going to come, if it hasn't already, it will come into our lives. And it needs to be faced. Now, I wish it were not so, but I'm also realistic enough, and the Bible is realistic enough, to know that we live in a world which is a broken world. It is not the ideal world. Sin has come into our world, and it has consequences. And as Adam and Eve were told, if you disobey and you sin, the wages of sin will be death. And the losses are very real. We are not always treated fairly. It is a broken world. Even the President of the United States doesn't have the kind of power and control over the world economy that our politicians would like us to think they do. There's a brokenness in the economic system. And the fact is that death does come into our world. Death intrudes into our lives. Sometimes it comes in a way that we almost see as merciful after a long struggle. But many times it comes cruelly, and all the times it comes with pain and with hurt. And it came into Jesus' life. It came into his close circle. A close friend dies, and Jesus grieves that loss. I want us, first of all, to take just a quick walk through John 11, not getting into why he delayed coming to Bethany as quickly as he might have done. We're not going to get into that part. But I want us to look at John 11 and notice it, first of all, for what does it have to say to us as we deal with the loss that another person has? How does Jesus deal with Mary and Martha in the loss that they experienced when their brother died? And we can learn something important because we face those situations with people in our circle as well. And the first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus came. Very simple. On his arrival, Jesus goes to Bethany. And Jesus isn't the only one. It says in verse 19 that while Bethany was only a couple miles from Jerusalem, a lot of other people had come too. People are there, presence. First word. When grief and loss comes into a friend's life, be there. It doesn't matter what you say, first of all. I will never forget that night when we got that phone call about Rob's death and the fact that Bill, as our elder, came to the house. I don't remember a thing what you said, but I do remember and will always remember that you were there. Presence is so important. And listening. That's the second thing. Jesus listens. When he gets there and Martha comes out to him, she starts to talk. Lord, Martha says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And later when Mary comes out to where Jesus is, she says basically the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus is there to listen and to let them talk. And that's so important today too. Let people talk. Let them express their hurt, which is going to be so real. Let them talk about the anger that they may have. Let them feel and express the good memories and the things that they're going to miss. Just listen. And then there's a third thing. Jesus cries. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. That's important. Jesus' tears are very real. Now, in the Middle East and in Jewish funerals, there was a lot of crying and a lot of wailing, and you still see that on the news today out of Israel or Palestine, either one, when there's been another death of a terrorist attack or whatever it might be, and you see and hear the wailing and the crying, and whether that's kind of a something you got to do, and some of it, there's the stories about you could hire professional mourners and all that kind of stuff, that's irrelevant to this story. Jesus' tears are real. And so I'm sure we're Mary and Martha's. Don't minimize hurts. Let the tears come. Don't say to a person, oh, she's better off or she's in a better place. That's not a good thing to say because people are going to say, look, I want him or her here. It's not that easy. But there is, remember, also hope. And Jesus gives hope. He says to Martha, your brother will rise again. Death isn't the end. There is life. So you got to get that balance between realizing and accepting the tears, but also giving the words of hope. And Jesus does that beautifully. Death is not the end for those especially who have found faith in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Boy, talk about hope. Bring hope, especially when you know of the faith of the one who has passed away. And then finally, Jesus involves other people in this whole process as well. They go to the grave, and he says to the crowd, some of the people there, you take away the stone. He could have done it himself, but he says, no, you help out. You take away the stone. And they do. They move it. And they take away the stone, it says in 41. And then after Lazarus comes out of the grave, Jesus again says to other people, he says, take off the grave clothes. Let him go. In other words, there's community. It's not just a one-on-one, but involve the community in dealing with grief. I think that's been so important to us in terms of our daughter's situation. And knowing that she has a community of support. It's not just her parents that have to be there for her. There's a lot of other people as well. And it makes it easier for us to be a distance away. Don't go it alone. So anyway, five words. Presence. Listen, weep, hope, community. Accepting the reality of grief and dealing with it with somebody else. But let's take a deeper look at this whole matter of loss and of grief. And I want us to take a deeper look at it and to say grief at the time of loss is both natural and necessary. Let me say it again. Grief is natural and it is necessary. I don't think we need to buy into the Jackie Kennedy model of how do you deal with loss in your life. Some of us older folk remember that day when President John Kennedy was shot and that whole event that took place after that. And I can still see the pictures of Jackie Kennedy always in control, always cool. It seemed like that was the face she had to put on. And I don't remember ever seeing tears. That's not the model that we need to put into practice. That's not the model Jesus gives us, because Jesus grieved. And I want us to look more deeply then at the fact that it is Jesus who is weeping. Mary and Martha too, but Jesus himself as well. And not just for them, he weeps for himself, because Lazarus was a friend, a good friend of Jesus. It was Lazarus' house that Jesus often stopped at, and I'm sure he'd had many good conversations. And Jesus' grief is not just a couple of tears trickling down in the corner that he managed to somehow turn around quick and wipe away so nobody could see them. Now, the verse Jesus wept uses the regular word for crying. But there's another word, and you read it here in verse 34. He says, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And it comes back again in verse 38. Jesus once more deeply moved. This isn't just a little tear trickling down. The word literally is the word that is, comes back from the Greek words that have to do with a horse snorting. Now, that seems like a strange word. And sometimes that word is used in the New Testament in terms of, for example, in Matthew chapter 9, it's talked about a time when Jesus warns sternly. So that's kind of a negative terminology there. And in Mark chapter 14, there's another reference where this time Jesus or the people use that same word about almost an angry, a rebuke, a harsh rebuke. But I don't think either of those have to do with the way that word is used here, because Jesus is not rebuking Mary and Martha for their tears. But what Jesus is doing is deeply being moved. And go back again to that idea of a horse snorting. And you know, when you are deeply moved, when you're really grieving, sometimes you don't just cry, you sob and you moan. And you get that, you know, it just catches you. You can't help it. And I think that's what Jesus is doing here. Remember, again, this is from the heart. And again, I say, grief in the time of loss is natural and it's necessary. Grief is a process that takes time. You can't rush it. Don't pull out the thorn too soon. You know, that's our tendency. You get a thorn in, and the first thing you want to do is grab it quick and pull it. But sometimes that means you end up tearing the skin even more. It needs to be removed carefully. Grief needs to be dealt with carefully. Don't use that, oh, come on, just get over it phrase. That's not helpful. Jesus is deeply moved. But I want to look at that even a little deeper than that. It's not just that Jesus really gets into the, you know, experiences his own loss in the death of a friend, but I want us to think about this story even telling us that God himself shares our grief. For Jesus isn't just an ordinary human being. He is indeed a human, but he is also the Son of God. And especially in John's gospel, John's emphasis all the way through is to point out the fact that Jesus comes into this world as the Son of God, that in Jesus we see God, God taking on human form, and we see the Word becoming flesh, God taking on a human form. And that's a message that the Jews needed to hear, but that's also a message which especially the Gentiles and the Greeks needed to hear. And John kind of emphasizes, his is written especially to some of the Gentile believers. And many of the Greeks bought into the old Greek philosophy, a Stoic idea. They had the idea that the gods in the Greek deity were, and the word that they used was apatheia. You catch it, apathetic, not able to feel or not feeling. And that's not the picture we have of our God. The beauty of the gospel, the beauty of the scriptures, is that God cares, that God feels, that when Jesus weeps, it is God who is weeping for us, dealing with loss. And for me, one of the most amazing truths in the whole Bible is to think that God knows what grief is all about, because God saw his Son dying on the cross. God has lost a child too. Part of the darkness on the hill of Calvary, that 3 hours of darkness. Part of it is, yes, that it was at that time that the world couldn't stand to watch God pouring out his anger against sin on Jesus. But I think there's more to it. I think that in that time you also see God weeping, God sobbing in sorrow at what Jesus is going through for us. Do you remember in the Passion movie, way at the end, that one drop comes to the ground and shatters and it goes into, I think that is God weeping at the death of his son. Wow. Think about it. God feels our hurt. But one more thing. We also need to deal with grief by moving on through it. One of the best books that we've read on the whole process of grief and grieving is the book titled Getting to the Other Side of Grief. And it picks up the word from Psalm 23 about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it says, look, it doesn't say, I walk into the valley and get stuck there. It says, I walk through the valley. I will fear no evil. God is with us. He walks with us through it. He grieves with us. But there is a way through the loss and the grief. Death does not have the last word. There is no loss in our life here today that is so great that it needs to mark the end of our lives or of a meaningful life. You can walk through the valley. You can get through the grieving process. And there are some things in this story, and I just want to mention two things, that lead us to a hope, a true hope that is found in Christ Jesus. And the first thing is what Jesus says. And so we go back again to that, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, all those I ams, John has about, what is it, 8 or 9 sayings or 7 I ams where Jesus says something, I am the light of the world, etc. But of all of those I am statements, they're all really important, but this one is so profound. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus not only talks about there is life, he says, I am the life. Even in the face of death, life has the last word. It's not death having the last word, it's life. Even though you die, even though your body decays and it smells like Lazarus's body did, you live if you are in Christ. What a promise. If you deal with the loss of a loved one who you know to be in Christ, whether it's a child or a spouse or a parent or a friend or whoever, Jesus says, I am the life. Don't ever forget it. It helps us to walk through the grief. But then it's not just words, for we have the actions, because Jesus does something to back up his words. Now, sound a little political? Is it just words? Is it actions? Oh, well, let's not go into that one right now. You'll hear plenty of that on TV in the next couple of days. But anyway, but Jesus certainly does something. He says, I am the life, and then he goes and does something. He says, okay, move the stone. And then he says, Lazarus, come on out. And what happens? A decaying, smelling, wrapped up corpse walks out alive, and you can see the pink, healthy flesh, not the gray, mottled decaying. He walks out alive and healthy. Death does not have the last word. You say, oh, yeah, but Lazarus later on died. And this time he stayed in the grave. True. But remember, there's another part of the story. That's not the end of it yet. When we talk about Jesus' actions, this is not just a matter of buying time. I mean, that would be great. I mean, if it were, you know, I'm sure Lazarus was happy to have another, what, 5 years, 15 years, we don't know. Like King Hezekiah in the Old Testament, you know, got 15 more years of life and he was on his deathbed. Wow, that's great. But there's something more. Because you see, there's another death and another resurrection. In fact, it was only a few weeks later, maybe a month, we don't know the exact time frame, but really very soon after this, there's another person who's just as dead as Lazarus was. In fact, they put a spear into his side and they had the blood and water coming out, and there was no doubt about it that that person who had been hanging on a cross was as dead as a doornail, as dead as Lazarus was when they put him in the tomb. And you know, that other person was in the grave almost as long as Lazarus was. For Lazarus, it was 4 days. For Jesus, it was the third day. But this one comes out of the tomb even more alive than Lazarus was. For when Jesus comes out, he is not only alive for another few years, he is still alive. He is the living Savior, and he has conquered death so that we can have eternal life. And so we live in a world of grief. People are grieving now. Maybe some of you are still grieving. And if you aren't, you will be. And for many people, loss leads only to despair. But it doesn't have to be that way. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage one another with these words. Let's pray.